Greetings, saints. God bless you and keep you. Father, in Jesus' name, would you be with us today, Lord, in your power, in your anointing, in your wisdom, O God. Lord, open our spiritual eyes that we might see, and our spiritual ears that we might hear, and pour forth of your Spirit upon us, O God. Every day, Lord, renew your Spirit for us, O God. In Jesus' name, help us to run with patience the race that's set before us, Father. We ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay, saints, I want to talk to you about running the race, and I'd like to give you just a brief explanation of what is running the race. What does it amount to? Is it optional? Anyway, Linda Smith had an awesome dream about this, running the race with patience, but first I want to explain to you from the scriptures what the race actually is. And, you know, in 1 Corinthians 9 and 24, we're told, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize?" Well, that doesn't sound very good for the rest of us, right? No, he's talking about the one here is those who abide in the one, Jesus Christ. You're one man in Christ Jesus, right? Those who abide in the one man, Jesus Christ, who is the Word. So abiding in the Word and abiding in Jesus are not separate. They are one and the same. He is the Word. So Jesus will finish the race, and everybody that abides in Him will too. Sad to say, all Christianity doesn't do that. And they don't even know there is a race, and they've pretty much considered that it's over when they accept Jesus as their personal Savior, and they can sit down and rest and wait till the end. But that's a lie from Satan, a lie from hell, a lie that sends a lot of people to hell. And he said, "But one receiveth the prize." The prizes are many: eternal life, a work or a ministry, fruit, the high calling of the man-child or the bride, etc. We are running a race in many different phases here, for many different things here. And he goes on to say, "Even so, run that you may attain." Many Christians do not run and therefore do not attain the prize. Whatever prize is their goal and whatever prize is God's plan for them, they do not attain to it. And verse 25 goes on to say, "And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things." So what is it to strive in the race or in the games? It is to exercise self-control in all things. The running is denying self and taking up our cross to follow in Jesus' steps. He said, "Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." In other words, you have to run this race to receive your crown. We patiently endure the crown of thorns, because Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me," right? In order to receive the incorruptible crown of life, or the crown of righteousness, or the crown of glory, etc., etc. The crowns that we receive are because we run the race of putting to death the old man. And we're doing it against the clock, too. He said, "I therefore so run as not uncertainly, and so fight I as not beating the air." So he's fighting with someone. He's fighting the old man, right? "So fight I as not beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage." So there it is. This is what the race is about. The race is to bring the flesh under servitude to the spirit man. Got that? And Paul went on to say, "Lest by any means, after that I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." And the Greek word here is adokimos. It means reprobate, rejected by God. So, you have to run the race. You have to take up your cross and follow Jesus. You have to lose your life in this world to gain your life. No cross, no crown. That's called rejected. Hebrews 12 and 1. "Therefore let us also, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The race must be run with patience for ourselves. Number one, you have to be patient with yourself. You're not going to grow up necessarily overnight, you know. It's going to take a lot of trials and tribulations, and the right choices to be made in the midst of those trials and tribulations so that you're not wasting your time spinning your wheels in this race, right? And patience for the promises of God to manifest. He said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And of course, James chapter 1, verse 4 says, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Lacking in nothing. Perfect and entire. Perfection brings maturity. Patience brings perfection and maturity. And the race has nothing to do with being swift or beating others to the finish line. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. In other words, personal strength, right? It's personal looks, personal gifts, personal ability has nothing to do with this race. Neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. So it has nothing to do with our power to be anything or to outrun someone else. The race is against the clock or the time that we have to receive the prize. The race is to lose self and gain Christ and in this fruit, which is the same thing. And that's before our time runs out. In various ways, it could be through God's limited grace for each goal, like the bride. There is a time run out for being in the bride. Or our death. That would be a time running out. Or being alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. Time has run out. You know, the race is not optional. For Jesus said, we have to lose our life to gain our life. So, that's just a very brief understanding of what the race is. Now, Linda had an awesome dream, which was very exciting to the folks she shared it with here. And I wanted to share it with you. She had two of them, actually. This first one was back in July of 2012, and the other one was just a week ago. So, I'll share the first one. It says, I had a dream where I was in a race that started on a ridge top. The path or course was in a large rectangular circle. Okay, it's a combination of a rectangle and a circle or a course, right? That's what she's meaning here. And most of the people there were from 30 years old up to 60 years old. And no one knew the other runners. Well, obviously we don't know a lot of runners who are around us. But it's pretty obvious who is not a runner, even though they claim to be a Christian. This 30 to 60 years old, could this mean this race speaks of those who range from 30-fold fruit to 60-fold fruit, but are running towards their goal of 100-fold fruit? I think so. We didn't all start together, she said, but each one of us left about 5 minutes apart from one another. And I was the last person to run. Some have been running this race longer than others, obviously, but it doesn't matter, for we're not racing against each other, right? She said there were two men there dressed in white and very tall. I thought they were angels, because they were about 12 to 14 feet tall. One man, or angel, was the timekeeper for each person running the race. He always had a solemn, stern look about him during the whole race. And I believe that's because he represents an enforcer of the time laid down by God. She said the other man or angel was nice and had a beautiful smile and would give good advice or counsel. And I believe that's because he represents grace and mercy in counsel. And we must run with God's guidance by word or by spirit, or it will all be in vain. Galatians 2:2 says, "And I went up by revelation from God, and I laid before them the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately before them who were of repute, lest by any means I should be running or had run in vain." He didn't want to do what all he was doing for the Lord for nothing. So he went up by revelation. God revealed to him exactly what he wanted done. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And Galatians 5:7 says, "You were running well. Who hindered you that you should not obey the truth?" Oh, in other words, if you don't obey the truth, you do not run well. Okay? Once again, you have to do it by revelation. You have to receive God's guidance, His counsel. Another reason that you should be filled with the Holy Spirit. That was the common thing in the book of Acts. Is after they got saved, they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is for that guidance. He is the comforter that goes with you. And Philippians 2:16 says, "Holding forth the word of life." Again, going back to the word, you have to put the word of life first. "That I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, neither labor in vain." So if you don't pay close attention to your counsel, your guidance from God by the Word or by the Holy Spirit, you will have run for nothing. That's pretty dangerous. And she said, "My turn to run finally came around. And as I walked up to the starting line, the timekeeper raised his hand and said, 'Go.' I started running down the hill." I believe that the beginning of the race is relatively easy. It's like going downhill because we don't know much. We're not held accountable to much. And too much is given, much is expected, the Lord says. But that's the way to run faster and faster and to bear fruit, you know. So you really don't have any choice. You must gain knowledge of the Lord. Linda said, "As I got to the bottom and on the straight path, I tried to pace myself, running fast, but trying to save some energy to run up the high, steeper slope back to the finish line." Now, in a natural race, this is good advice. But this is a spiritual race, and man's wisdom will not get you there quickly. The steeper slope uphill represents that God is asking more as we receive more grace through faith in the promises. And Linda said, "When I got there and started up, the ground was loose, so I would slide back down. So I went up on all fours, hands and feet." You know, our works, which represent our hands, and our walk, represented by the feet, being in Christ will cause us to overcome. And of course, again, the race is to not be in the old self, but to be in Christ, right? God empowers us by faith in His promises to be there. And Linda said, "As I got up the steep part, it leveled off, and I ran to the finish line. The timekeeper shook his head and said, 'Nope. You took too much time. You'll have to do it again after you rest a bit.' I was very tired, and I sat down to rest. And the other man or angel walked over to me and smiled, saying, 'This time, run with patience.' I thought, 'Run with patience? I ran as hard and as fast as I could and didn't make it. What does he mean, run with patience? Well, I believe patiently enduring because of faith in the promises of the good news that all is accomplished in Jesus, right? Do you know that the gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes? And do you know that holding fast to the good news that it's all been accomplished by Christ at the cross, that I no longer live, that Christ lives in me, that's accepting your perfection from the beginning. It's accepting you're finishing the race from the beginning, right? So you can run with patience because you're resting in the Lord, because you believe the Word of God, right? It's His power. He's the Savior. You're not the Savior, right? By the time the thought was ended, the other angel called me to the starting line. He raised his hand again and said, "Go." So I was off again, running. But I kept hearing those words, "Run with patience," over and over. So I slowed down and ran slower. It didn't seem to me that I had made a better time. Now I was finally back at the steep part, again using all fours. I got up there a lot easier and ran across the finish line again. And of course that was better, but still not quite there, right? The angel again shook his head, saying again, "Nope, you'll have to run again." So I sat down again. The friendly angel came over and asked me, saying, "Hey, did you see all the beautiful flowers and big lake that's down there? Or did you hear all the birds singing in the trees?" That's okay. You don't think about those things when you're running a natural race, but this kind of a race, running in the rest through faith, is pleasurable and restful and no competition, no anxiety, no ego involved, right? And Linda said, "No, sir." I replied, "I didn't see or hear anything like that, sir." "Well," he said, "this time run with patience and you'll see and hear all the beautiful things around you. Try and keep that in your mind this time, okay?" "Yes, sir, I'll try." Well, in other words, keep your mind on the good and beautiful things, not on the grueling trial. And God will be with you in peace. You know, if you're looking at the trial, if you're looking at the pain, if you're looking at the suffering, if you're looking at the things you're going through, it's going to drag you down. You know, Philippians 4 and 8 tells us, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," is it true? Is it true according to the Word of God? Ah, now that's different. Is it true according to the Word of God? Because things that are true in the kingdom of God are not necessarily true on earth. So we have to hold fast to the things that the Lord says are true. We have to call the things that be not as though they were. And whatsoever things are honorable, and whatsoever things are just, thinking on these beautiful things, right? Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. You know, think on these things as you're running the race to deny your old self. Think on the wonderful things of God, the wonderful promises of God, as you're running the race to crucify the old man, right? "The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. And the God of peace shall be with you." The God of peace shall be with you. So, don't think on the grueling trial. Think on the good things so that God's peace will be with you, right? And you'll have the victory. You will win the battle. Once more, I was called to the starting line again, and the timekeeper angel raised his hand again and said, "Go." So I was off a third time. I quickly ran down the gentle slope to the running path, and this time I was listening and looking for birds singing, the flowers, and that big lake the angel told me about. I first came upon the flowers. They were all kinds of colors. You know, the colors, of course, are the different attributes of light, which are the attributes of Jesus, right? So there were all kinds of colors. Then the big trees with the birds singing, and on around was a big lake with crystal clear water shimmering with a soft glimmer of sunlight. Pay attention to the big lake, obviously, which is the word, the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, and the light, right? I thought, how did I not see all this before? It's beautiful down here. Looking ahead at the path, I was at the steep slope. So I went up all fours again and ran across the finish line. The timekeeper angel said to me, "Turn around and come back to the starting line and then run straight towards that solid rock face there. And don't stop running." Sounds like death to me, doesn't it? You're going to run into a solid rock wall, you know? But, of course, this is a spiritual race and not a physical race. So, evidently, she passed the last trial, that part of the race. She finally passed it because she was patient and she was faithful and she had her eyes on the good things, right? So, in this case, the angel was just basically asking, at least in the natural, death to self, right? So we run with the solid rock face in view. Jesus is the solid rock, and his face is what we see in the mirror by faith to make bearing his fruit possible. We run into him, right? 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." So that's seeing the end from the beginning. You're looking in the mirror and you're seeing Jesus already. You see him now. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me, right? That's the gospel. That's empowering you to run the race, right? The other angel, she said, the other angel said, "Run with patience." "Yes," I said, "and thank you. Thank you so much." The timekeeper said, "Go." So I started running straight towards that solid rock face. I closed my eyes. Well, I think this probably means not running by sight, but by faith. If you run by sight, you're probably going to be frightened and you're not going to back off, right? And then I opened them to see the rocks part. And I ran right through the narrow opening. Now there's the narrow road, right? Which means the restricted road of the Word of God. The Word of God restricts your road. The wide path is for those who have no straightening from the Word, right? So she ran right through the narrow opening to the other side. And I kept on running. The path would curve to the left and then straight and then curve to the right many times for about a mile, going in grade all the time. So this uphill run is now made easy through faith with patience, right? Because it's not your works. You get to rest. She said the path was about 2 feet wide on each side, and it was 3 feet wide. The narrow path is to be conformed by the limitations of God's Word. And if you don't run it lawfully, you are disqualified, according to the Word. She said, I could look down on either side and see for miles because I was so high. I believe that this represents running up the mountain that is called Zion, the place of the presence of God, the place of seeing a far land, right? She said, then I came around a right curve and suddenly there was no more path. I found myself falling and looking down. I saw a huge body of water. Well, I believe this is finally the baptism unto death to self, right? That huge body of water. Obviously, if you fall from that high on a huge body of water, naturally speaking, you would die, right? Water doesn't compress. Fear came over me because I can't swim. But I was thinking, I have to try to take a deep breath just as I start to enter the water. So my focus was only on the water. Of course, the breath is the spirit. And the water, she was watching it to gauge when she was going to enter, right? So her focus and our focus must be only on the word of his promises, right? She said, I took a deep breath and hit the water feet first, going down close to the bottom. And I started pushing my arms down, trying to get up to the top, but with no success. And I have to tell you that baptism is a death, burial, and a resurrection, and we have no power for resurrection life. That is to come up out of the water. That has to be God's work. I had let out the air that I had, and I was needing to breathe. Then I heard a voice telling me to breathe. You can breathe under water. So there is life in death. There is breath in death. There is the Spirit of God, right? The Word only puts to death the old man. But the new man is coming to life. Amen? Just remember this path, this trial that we're taking. We have to lose our life to gain our life, Jesus said. You say, David, what if I die somewhere along the way? Well, faith is accounted as righteousness. If you are running the race believing and to see the end from the beginning and you're beholding Christ in the mirror, your faith is accounted as righteousness even before righteousness is applied. But if you're not running the race and you die, then you're not bearing fruit. So I took a big breath of air and thought, I can breathe underwater. Then I noticed I was moving through the water as if I was being pulled. By God's power. So I just relaxed and was enjoying the ride for a while. There's the rest. There's the joy in the new life, right? Oh, hallelujah. You can rest. You can make it. Praise God. Just one trial at a time. You lose your life just one trial at a time. You focus on the Word of God and the promises. You enter into the rest and you face that trial head on. Just like that rock head on, right? She said, then I began to hit the sand and rock. So I stood up and walked to the land where I saw the two angels standing waiting for me. And as I left the water, my hair, clothes, and shoes were dry. Now, obviously, she was finished with the cleansing because she didn't need the water anymore, right? The angels took me to another starting line and said, go, run. Another phase, right? I said, with patience? And they both said, yes. And I was off again. This path was also like the last one, narrow and slowly going upward, heavenward, right? Heavenly. It's a heavenly race, right? I remember my friend Bolivar running up a hill, a race going up a hill, and as he was going up the hill, it was raining on him. And wherever the rain would hit him, it would turn him white, because he was a brown man. And everywhere The rain hit him, it turned him white, and the rain was red like blood. So he was running up the hill, and the blood was raining on him and cleansing him and making him white. I was running and looking at all the sensational views. The higher I went, the more views I could see in every direction. That's more discernment, more wisdom, right? And I was enjoying running with patience when I ran out of any path again. But I wasn't falling. I was flying. So I put my arms out and was soaring like the eagles. And you know that faith is the victory that overcomes the world, right? Eagles overcome the world. They overcome the natural. They overcome the gravity, right? And your natural man, remember we were talking last broadcast about a floating upstream. That's against the natural. And we are against the natural. As that natural passes away, the spiritual takes its place, right? And Linda said, I flew across the United States. I saw mountains and rivers and grasslands and farmlands, and I woke up. The victory that overcomes the world, huh? And I got this feeling that no matter what I have to go through, two angels will be there also. Because in Psalm 91, 10 and 11, we're told, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he, that is God, will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Oh, praise the Lord. What happens if you don't run this race with patience? In other words, you don't have any faith, right? Well, if you don't have any faith, there's a lot of trouble ahead. And it's there to motivate us to run to Christ, to run to the heavenly, right? Praise God. So don't waste any time not running this race by patience and faith, right? So, you know, Linda shared this first dream with us, and lo and behold, I think it was that night she got an update on that. It was on the 4th. And it's more about running, more about the race, right? And she said, I woke up early this morning, and I turned over and laid there a few seconds and went back to sleep and had this dream. I was standing in a very large green grassy field. I began to run across this field, and there seemed to be no end. Well, you know one thing about a grass, you know, the Bible says all flesh is as grass. And Jesus said the field is the world. And the grass was under her feet this whole time as she ran the race. In other words, bringing the old man under submission, right? Amen. Good thinking. I was standing in a very large green grassy field. I began to run across this field, and there seemed to be no end. As far as the eye could see, in all directions was this green field. And it was beautiful and peaceful here. You know, the more you go down the road, the more you overcome the old man, the more peace you have. The old man is warring against you, running in the kingdom of God. He's warring against you. He loves the world and the things of the world. And so you have to keep on running. You can't sit down, as we said last time. You can't sit down and rest. You must keep running. She said, there was nothing but blue sky above me and beautiful green field in front of me. I kept running as if I were being drawn to something that was still farther away. So I kept running with a great awareness of something great that was up ahead. Well, we know the prize is up ahead, right? Amen. I ran and ran, and each step was effortless on my part. And when my feet landed on the ground, I stopped and found that in front of me was a huge waterfall. Wow. She had been led to the source, I believe, the rivers of the waters of life. Out of her innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. A huge waterfall. It was so high, I could not see the top of the waterfall. There was a mist of water up high falling down on me. The water looked so pure that it was clear as crystal, and I could see through the water and see big boulders and rocks that the water was falling or cascading over. The mist that was falling on me was refreshing, and I cupped my hands together and started drinking the water. I was at peace and in total rest. Well, that's the result of running the race, consistently putting the flesh under your feet. Walk by faith, right? You come to the place of peace. Remember, the Lord warned that they shall not enter into my rest, even though the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Okay, he's talking about the disobedient, right? I was at peace and in total rest, and I felt complete and whole and totally satisfied. So, the rest of faith in the promises brings death to self and the completeness of the new life in Christ. Maturity, perfection, whatever you want to call it. And that's the only way I have to explain it, Linda said. It is something you would never want to depart from. I had a thought. It was like Ephesians 5:25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for it. Yes, his sacrifice enables us to run that race. That he might sanctify it. He did this to sanctify, make holy, make pure, make perfect. Having cleansed it by the washing of the water with the Word, that he might present the church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, there will be just such a glorious church. It's not on the horizon now, but it will be soon to come because of, tribulation, trials. See, running the race is not a race unless there's trials and tribulations. You just have to keep your mind on the good things, like the good promises of God, right? Then suddenly I was being pulled back to the place where the dream started. Huh, why would that? I believe it was that she went back to the beginning to observe where many lose their way and fail to finish the race. I found myself back, only this time there was a humongous tree there, and I was being drawn feet first into this tree, feet first into the tree. And I believe that's the walk at the beginning is plagued with failure until faith comes, right? My left foot, was inside the tree, and I was trying to keep the rest of me from being pulled in. I cried out, Lord, help me. I don't want this. I resist this in your name, Jesus. And it stopped. So a simple prayer of faith brought relief and deliverance from whatever this was. She said, I laid there on the ground with my left foot still caught in this tree. The left foot speaks of a walk of self-will and rebellion through bondage to the law by condemnation. You ever been in that place in your walk? Many people go through that, if not all people go through that. I believe all go through that. Because she went on to say, my thought was, everyone has been caught in this tree. Yeah. Everyone passes through this trial that we might know that the power is not of ourselves, but is a gift through grace by faith alone. You can't look at the things that are, saints, you'll get drugged down. You have to look at the goal and you have to believe it's yours. I said, Lord, is this the tree of good and evil? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? And the tree of the knowledge of good and evil only brought the knowledge of sin, but like the law, it had no power against sin, which left man torn between the good, the right, and the evil, the left, right? So that's a terrible place to be, and there's no peace there. So we learn that only by grace through faith do we overcome the power of sin. We accept, because of what Jesus did at the cross, our perfection ahead of time, our deliverance from sin. He made you free from sin, Romans 6 says, right? And my foot was released from the tree, and I woke up. So if you're going through that trial, just remember, a lot of people did it before you. You're being tested to learn that you cannot do it without faith, that all of your self-efforts will fail, and all the condemnation comes because you think you could do it without God. You have to learn that I can't do it, and the Lord says, okay, good, you found that out. That's the revelation you needed to get, so you can go on now, right? Praise God. So ain't that wonderful that the Lord blesses us with the brethren and their precious gifts of God for us. Praise be to God. Thank you so much, Linda, and everybody else that gets these wonderful dreams and revelations to share with the body and the scriptures we put with it. It's like the parables of Jesus and the verses that go along with it, right? Well, Bill Steenland also had a revelation, a dream. He said, I dreamed I was watching a cloud unfold in heaven. And a verse that he gave was Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, of who? Of the faith-filled people mentioned in chapter 11. Right? Lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You look to Jesus because that's where your faith comes from. Notice that. The author and the perfecter of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Here we are. The joy that is set before us. The joy that Linda came to. You have to endure the cross. That's the race. Despising shame, and has sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. And then Bill said, this cloud was white. I believe it represents purity. Gray, which is age. And blue, which is heavenly. And had various stages of those colors. And obviously we're going through those stages, which is what this dream is about, as you'll find out in just a minute. The cloud was unfolding up and up. And the cloud was a monument. It had two pillars. And he gave Mark 1:14. Now after John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. You can't make it unless you believe in the gospel. You must repent of self-effort. The pillars said Yeshua, Jesus Christ, on each one. The pillars were letters, founded on the word Jesus. They were both white pillars. In between the pillars was a white staircase with a little platform. There's that staircase leading up to heaven, right? That path uphill that Linda was on. I believe the stairs represent working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yes, that is the race. And the platform is arriving on the solid ground. I saw walking up the staircase an elderly man, an old man, the gray, right, with an eagle in his right hand. The elderly man had white and gray hair and looked like he had been through a lot in the Lord. Well, you know, this is why we go through these trials, to put to death the old man. Age is nothing but death, right? And as he walked up the staircase, he let the eagle go. Now, see, as you go up the staircase, higher and higher in God, higher and higher in your running the race, right? The eagle is released. And I believe that that means the old man is the flesh dying, and the eagle released is the spiritual man taking over. Isaiah 40 and 31, it says, "But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." What is wait for the Lord? It means to cease from your own works. Don't let the old man rule. He has to die. "They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Wow, that's right where Linda came to, right? Oh, wow, this is neat. "The eagle took off and flew, flying in heaven." Remember, Linda flew as the eagle, the overcomer? Matthew 24 and 28, "Wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." So where the old man is dead, that's where the eagle is, right? Wow, pretty neat, huh? And, you know, we get these things together like this quite often because God wants to confirm a thing. And He's in power to give people dreams and visions whenever He wants to. And He wants to. If you haven't received them, ask Him for them, right? "I saw this happen about 3 to 5 times, all with different vantage points. The Word of God came to me as I dreamed it." Hebrews 12 and 1. "Therefore let us also, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So saints, you and I are called to run this race, to deny ourselves, to let self be crucified, as with the crown of thorns, right? To come to something that is a prize at the end of the race, should you run it in a legal way, in a legal manner, and the old man dies, and the new man comes to life, and that eagle is released. That overcomer is released, flying above the world, over and above the curse that is on this world. That's what we were created for. Why have we drifted so far from what we were created for? Well, because of sin. And we have to make the decision through trials that, no, I don't want this, just like Linda did. I don't want this. I reject this. I do not receive this. You have to make that decision when you're faced with the temptation. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. It is God's purpose that you are tempted. Because you have to make the decision every step of the way that you want God and not the devil and not the flesh. I know many people who have fallen away in the last years. It was God who did it. They had problems they would not face in their path, in their running path, a certain trial. They refused to face it. And God said, you can't do that. I've brought you here to put to death something in you, and you cannot go beyond this point without doing this. So you know what? They're not running the race. They're out of the race. And they don't want to give up part of their life to God. It is a part that God calls sin. They don't want to give it up. Oh, Lord, I'll give you this, I'll give you that, I'll do this and I'll do that, but just don't touch this, right? And so God turns them over to the devil for chastening. And he separates them from his cleaner body. He is cleansing the bride. I shared with you just a couple of meetings back how that the Lord showed us that we're in the last house cleaning for the bride. And the bride will be the chosen ones who have walked purely before the Lord. So, praise be to God that He opens our understanding. He helps us to understand the purpose of these things. A parable or a dream is something that you remember and remember and remember. And many times you see more and more. Don't think I'm seeing everything in these things, saints. I'm not. I'm just seeing what God's showing me now. You know, He may show you things more. And as a matter of fact, there may be other interpretations to these dreams. Because God can show you more than one thing. Just like prophecies in the Bible have more than one fulfillment. They have a physical fulfillment first, usually, and then they have a spiritual fulfillment, which is much bigger, later down the road. So, I mean, a lot of people only insist that there's only ones because they don't want to see more from God, but there is more. So, we thank you, Bill, for sending that to us and putting your interpretation in there, and it's pretty good, too, I think. I just added a little bit here and there. And you know, praise God, saints, praise God. Praise Him along the path. Give glory to Him along the path. Praise His holy name. Rejoice, seeing the end from the beginning. Rejoice, seeing the good things along the way, the precious things, the beautiful things that God has done, that He has created. And in particular, those precious promises that He has given us to see the end from the beginning. When Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. That's what it says in the original. Believe you received them and you shall have them. That's the rest. You believe you've received everything that you prayed for. And you're holding on to that promise. It's mine, it's mine, it's mine. Every time the devil says, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not, you quit walking by sight and you walk by faith and you say, yes, it's mine. It was given to me at the cross. I am perfected right back there. It was done. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. It was done. So, believing the gospel is what empowers you to be able to run the race against the old man. He kicks and he screams the whole way until he dies. And of course, the further you go down that road, the more he dies, the less resistance you're going to have. What is it that it's at the end of this thing? That rest, that peace, that joy. Because you don't have to fight that old man anymore. You're not tempted by this and that anymore. You may be tempted by something, in which case that's the thing that God's putting in front of you now. Run with patience the race. Deny your old self. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus, right? Oh, Father, I ask, Lord, that you bring this to the remembrance of all of the brethren out there, that they know that every day is part of this race. Every day they must deny themselves to grow a little bit higher on the mountain. Every day they have opportunities to say no to flesh and no to the devil and accept your precious gift. And Lord, at the end is the prize. And we only have a certain amount of time to do this. We cannot waste time. We have time to receive the prize. Lord, keep it in our hearts. Keep it in our desires. Keep it in our imagination. Keep the promises. Bring them to our remembrance constantly as we go through these trials, Lord. Let us be overcomers, Jesus, because we became overcomers through what you did at the cross. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ that liveth in me. The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right? Hallelujah. Well, we thank you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for delivering us from evil and delivering us to your heavenly kingdom, even as we walk on this earth. Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you so much for this night. We ask you to be with Paul as Paul shares with the brethren. We ask you to pour out your Spirit upon him and enable him and enable all that are listening to him. And we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, come on, Paul. God bless you, brother. Thank you so much. Goodbye, saints. Pray for me.